Real Business Owners.
What's up, Real Business Owners? Welcome to episode 12. This episode is just Trevor and Kel. We're going to be talking about a lot of our failures, guys, that have ultimately helped us get to our successes. This podcast is brought to you by Easier Accounting, the nationwide accounting firm for entrepreneurs, built by entrepreneurs. You guys, enjoy the show.
Guys, welcome back. Today we've got a great episode for you. I think a lot of light ends up getting shined on all the success that people have, and not enough light gets shined on people's failures and the process that you have to go through it to ultimately be successful in business. And I'm telling you right now, you're going to end up having far more failures than you will successes, because success is basically a process of elimination. And so today, we want to talk about a few failures that we've had and some money that we've lost in different business ventures, and maybe some of the investments that we currently have, right? And things that we do to try to make money. But guys, this money and success game is always evolving, right? Like once you hit a six-figure mark, you're trying to get to 200,000 and then 300,000 and then set new goals and get up to the point where you're making seven figures a year personally, not as a business. And that's kind of where me and Kel are right now. And, that's good to have our focuses on, obviously, the things that we want in our life and the success that we want. But in order to have that level of success, you're going to have a lot of failures on the way. And so we wanted to let you guys know some of the things that we've tried and some of the things that we've invested in that haven't worked, so that you guys can understand that it's just part of the process and it just is what it is. And you've got to kind of take it on the chin and move on and continue on the path that leads you to your end goal. So Kel, hop in on it. You know, tell us a little bit about, obviously everybody knows the starting point of a basement, story from last week's episode. And that ultimately turned into something that was successful. But with all the money that you made, you started investing into different things and trying, different ways to make your money make you money.
Yeah.
And there were failures along the way and a lot of lessons learned. And so
yeah, I've got a great couple learning lessons.
Yeah. We'll call it learning lessons. Yeah. We'll call failures just learning lessons. That's a better way to put it.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, if you want to make money and you want to be successful, you're going to find out how to do it. Okay. But you're always looking for ways to do more, right? And sometimes you get presented, once you start having a little bit of success and you start getting presented these opportunities, let me just tell you guys something. Everything sounds great.
Everything.
Everything. And you're like, wow, yeah. So I can still work on my business over here. We're doing this. We're doing seven figures. We're doing whatever it is, you know? And then now I can invest this money over here. And it's almost like a shortcut, right? Yeah. I'm going to make all this money on the side, and I'm basically going to double my income. You get excited. And it's really just like, I wasn't educated when I started a business, man. I was just starting a business and learning as I go. And so these things come along, and they sound so exciting. And so you jump in, and man, they turned out to be some great learning lessons.
Well, you get blinded by the sales pitch.
Oh, absolutely. Right?
Every investment opportunity is obviously going to be presented as the best. And, they're not going to tell you, hey, there's an investment opportunity. This one's a little shaky, but, approach it at your own risk, so to speak, right? You know, there's, oh, this is so great. We put money into it. This is how much money it's making us. And, the presentation is always killer.
It is.
But you have to kind of step back. And the more failures that we've had in terms of investing, it makes us more efficient in terms of vetting the next investment.
It does.
And so, again, as Kel said, that's just a learning lesson or a learning opportunity. You can go to college and spend $50,000 at college, or you can invest into two or three different things with that same 50 or 80 grand or whatever, and you're going to learn a lot of valuable lessons, along the way, and not everything that you do is going to work out. And so,
well, I think I've had a couple experiences right off the top of my head that I can think of, the first couple losses.
One of the first early investments that you made, though, that ended up being halfway decent,
I mean, it didn't pay you like tons and tons of money. Was Del Frisco's one of your first investments, just kind of when you started coming into
Tucanos.
Money?
Tucanos.
Oh, it's, yeah, Tucanos.
It still pays me to this day.
Yeah. So what was that, like a $25,000
So that investment? Was a, that was a venture capitalist group. They came to me and they made me fill out this accredited investor packet. Yeah. You know, that's the other thing you got to think of, man. I've actually gotten out of investments. Bad investments. So there's two different people, man. Like sometimes people come to you and they're like super excited about something. It gets you excited, but they genuinely think that their plan is going to work for everybody involved. And then things just go south. Mm-hmm. They're not bad people.
Yeah.
Everybody just made bad choices, right? And then you got these people that are straight sharks.
Yep.
I've dealt with a couple of those as well, where they are to out there to take advantage of people. And so I've learned those are some of the learning lessons that that you know, hopefully people get out of this today. But so that Tucanos one, these guys were smart. Like I knew they were smart. They had a great thing going, and they did several very successful restaurant chains that ended up getting sold off. And $25,000 to me back then was all I had.
Like, yeah.
I was a fairly successful sales guy making right around six figures. Most sales guys don't save up 25 grand a year in six-figure job. Like, no. They blow it all, right?
Yeah.
So this was all I had. And these guys, you know, they showed me the plan, and I was young and naive still at this time, but that one actually worked out.
Yeah.
So still to this day, like 15 years later, I'm getting paid from that investment.
It's
dwindled a lot, but it's still $2,000-$3,000 a year. It's all profit, right?
Yeah.
We made our money back in the first 4 years, and then – here we are 11 years later, still paying me two, three grand a year, you know?
So, I mean, it's nothing crazy, but I mean, it worked out, and you've got to have some of those, I guess you would call little drip incomes where you can maybe make $5,000 or $10,000 a year just off of something that's 15 years old or 10 years old or whatever it is. But what was maybe a second investment that you did?
So,
the first one obviously worked out to your advantage, but...
Second investment. So, well, Jeremy and I owned a Forex education company. It was the very first company that we owned. Forex was a hot thing. He wrote a whole course. Customers were making money. We were making money. Everything was going great.
Yeah.
We needed more leads.
Yeah.
And these guys came to us, and they were, you know, lead wizards, and they knew how to build these funnels. And, dude, even this is 12 years ago.
Yeah.
11, 12 years ago. So funnels were different then than they were now. Like we didn't have social media like we have now. But
or funnel templates.
Yeah. So
right?
A lot of it was email traffic and Google, which is super expensive. And so, and these guys weren't bad guys. They weren't out to take advantage of us. They had a model that it worked for what they were selling. They ended up wanting to build a funnel with our Forex education where, you know, basically you got something for free, but you had to pay the shipping, but then you enrolled into like an auto learning course for like a monthly fee. And what happened was we dumped about $50,000-$60,000 into this over the course of 4 or 5 months before we finally pulled the plug on it. Because by the time your offer gets up to the point where you're really getting the traffic and finding out like the conversion on the back end and why it's so low, and then you start doing things like calling the customers to figure it out, it's like, man, people were telling us like, oh, I just did that to get the free, you know, toaster or blender or the gift card, or, you know, it was incentivized traffic. Or a lot of people were like, oh, no, man, I found this thing online. It told me to go fill out these offers and they would pay me so much per offer. So they were like literally finding these college kids to just go and like sign up for things and then cancel them right away to get paid. But then they were charging us per conversion, right? So we were the ones getting screwed. And so, you know, we brokered this offer through some bad traffic
sources
and publishing houses or, you know, whatever. They call them pubs or whatever. So I don't know, man. Like the guys that we partnered with on it, they didn't do it intentionally, but they brokered our offer out to some pretty shady traffic guys out there in the internet world. So, you know, we lost all that money, man.
And there's plenty of those.
Yeah. And we were cash flowing, but we thought, oh, this is going to be a great way for us to, you know, expand and grow our business. And it turned out to be about a $50,000-$60,000 learning lesson. So,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Guys, again, we're going to go through a bunch of different things we've done that haven't worked. And as we've alluded to already, it's every single time we do this, we get smarter. So, we kick up another offer, we're going to be far smarter in regards to the publishers that you use in terms of pushing traffic, and you're going to vet them, and you're going to want maybe some people that they've done business with. And
well, and it's like you said, process elimination. We know now because we still have offers online. We still have things that we do online for our businesses, the counting, whatever, right?
Yeah.
And it's like we know guys now that we've done business with for a long time. We know guys' reputations, whether they are guys to do shitty, like, you know, incentivized bad bunk traffic, not quality traffic, or if they're guys that are, have historically given us good traffic. So we had to go through some bumps to make some of these connections with the guys that do real honest business, you know? And so, unfortunately, that happens a lot.
Yeah. And so one of the first investments, you know, that I made with Kel and Jeremy, the partners that we have now, we also have JD in regards as a partner to Easier Accounting, but before him, we invested into a trucking company.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That didn't work out so well. We gave a guy $21,000. He gave us the title to his truck.
Yeah.
Right?
But, you know, what he presented to us was all the contracts he had just landed for all these shipping deals. And he's like, I just don't have the money to
get into the truck.
Yeah, I've got
the contracts.
The contracts. Yeah.
And so I don't know if those were bunk contracts still to this day. I mean, it kind of seems like it with how everything turned out. Mm-hmm. Let's just put it this way. So we were going to own, I think, 33% or a third of the company. And it was structured as a loan. So the company would have to pay back the $21,000 in the form of monthly payments. I think it was like $1,000 a month or something like that for 21 months or 24 months so that we could earn a little bit of interest there. But then we would share in, obviously, the dividends or, you know, own a little bit of equity with inside of the trucking company. That's why we didn't want a whole lot of interest in terms of the loan payback. And this individual, again, as Kel stated, you know, sent us contracts and sent us things and basically stating that there's tons of money to be made in the industry. He just needs to be up and running. Mm-hmm. And we were the money side of it to help him kind of get it up and running. And how it went down you know, the first month kind of came and went, and I would be calling him and he'd say, everything's going good. You know, I'm picking up a load. I'm doing this. I'm that. And the first check didn't even show up.
Yeah.
So I started kind of tracking around. He's like, oh, yeah, I put it in the mail. It's on the way. Kept checking the mail. Weeks later, still didn't show up. Call him and be like, oh, I'll resend that. You know, so he's just kind of buying time, right? Mm-hmm. And one time when I called, his mom answered the phone. It was going to be his admin lady.
And he's an older guy.
Yeah, he was an older guy. Yeah. I mean, he was probably...
So I don't know
50.
If he was living with his mom or his mom was living with him.
I mean, he was probably like 45, 50, yeah. You know, something like that. His mom was probably 65, 70, somewhere around there. And so she was kind of doing some of the admin stuff for the trucking company. And I called and I got a hold of her and I was kind of playing dumb a little bit and just saying, oh, how's everything going? Is there money in the account? All this stuff. She's like, yeah, it's going great. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like that's a good sign. And then she goes on to say, yeah, we've got like $300-something in the account. And I'm like, wait a minute. You know, like you owe us a payment.
Yeah.
You know, like you don't even have enough to cover the payment. And anyways, we found out within the first, you know, 2 or 3 months that didn't pan out. We ended up finding the truck in a mechanic yard.
Yeah.
With a $5,000 or $6,000 mechanic bill. And the guy just left it there because we have the title to it. So he didn't care. He didn't have to pay the mechanic bill because he didn't own the truck.
Yeah.
He kind of just walked away from the business. And so by the time we tracked the truck down, there's a bill now left on it. I think we ended up getting a check from that guy for like $2,000.
Yeah.
He's like, the truck's not really worth that much.
Yeah.
You know, he must have lied to you and told you that it had a great engine and transmission, which he did. Oh, it's got this transmission, this Caterpillar engine and, you know, all this stuff. And come to find out, it's sitting in a mechanic yard for probably the last month when we were trying to track him down. And so we negotiated with the mechanic just to have him send a couple $1,000 to us, and we mailed him the title. And so,
yeah, chop it up as a loss. But you know, we thought we were being really smart because we did the math on the contracts, the truck valued at around what he said it did, but we don't know what condition it was in.
Yeah. He sent us a picture of it and stuff, but
even though
you can't tell what's on the inside, you know, the engine and all that. But
we thought we were being smart. We thought we were getting our money collateralized by getting the actual title and, you know, doing the math on the contracts and understanding, like, you know, what our return was going to be. So here we are
on
thinking
paper.
We're being smart, right? On paper. And at the end of the day, it was...
What we probably should have done is we should have reached out to some of those contracts.
Yeah.
And verified that there was contracts that needed to be filled and that they were in need of trucking companies.
Yeah. We should have done extra due diligence.
We should have.
Shouldn't have just been excited about the returns that we were seeing on paper.
You know, basically owning equity in another company that we didn't have to do a whole lot for except for fund.
Yeah.
But we were also going to get our money back anyways, right?
Yeah.
And so that was a big learning lesson for us. You know, I know that at one point, prior to me having ownership, you guys invested into Kava Kona or whatever it was, or a Kava company, or, you know, and funded that. I don't know how much you guys funded it with, though.
It was like $25,000 or 25. Something like that. Well, I mean, we were into it some things before that. So, you know, I feel like the learning lesson here is sometimes just because you're into something doesn't mean it's going to be a great business. Like Jeremy had made a lot of friends in the Polynesian culture.
Yeah.
They all drink kava.
Yeah.
And it is fun to get together and drink kava with these guys. They're all great guys, you know.
A bunch of laughs
fun,
and everybody.
The kava is like, you know, not harmful, but it relaxes you. It gets everyone kind of chill. And, you know, it was fun. And so, and there started becoming like this kind of kava culture in our community around here. And so guys kept running out of it, and they kept coming to Jeremy because Jeremy has some money, you know. Like a lot of these guys didn't have money. It's just like, you know, it's like a guy, you know, scraping up money to go buy his cigarettes for the day. Like they're trying to scrape up some money to go buy their kava for the day, you know, or the evening, because they do it at night. But anyway, these guys kept coming to Jeremy to front him some money for kava, and then he just started thinking, well, dude, why don't I just like
fund it, start a business.
Just buy a crap ton of kava, basically, and be a kava dealer.
Yeah.
It's funny. He actually had the cops called on him because as a drug dealer.
Yeah.
Because like, his neighbors and stuff kept seeing cars coming and going, handing off cash, taking bags of kava.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. But yeah, man, I mean, one connection with a friend that he had was like, yeah, man, I'm connected to the farms clear back in Tonga.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like we can get a shipment of all this kava sent over here to us. It's going to take a few weeks. It's going to be on a container. The minimum order is like 20 something thousand bucks. I can't even remember the exact number. It was 20 something thousand. But yeah, you know, it showed up about a month later. We drew.
I remember those bags, those huge, huge bags showing up to the office.
Yeah.
They were heavy as shit too.
Like bigger than potato sacks, right? Like twice the size of potato sack. It's just full of kava powder. But we had to drive up to Salt Lake to get the shipment. Came into LA, and then it was flown from LA to Salt Lake. We drove up to Salt Lake and got it, drove it back. Literally, like the car was like almost bottoming out coming down the freeway.
That's how much it weighed.
Yeah, because we just had tons of this stuff in the trunk of a car.
Looking like drug dealers, basically, you know.
But yeah, man, like after months and months went by, like not only were these guys selling the kava that Jeremy knew, they weren't reporting all the funds, but they were also drinking it and having fun on it.
Drinking the profits away, you know, they're getting high on their own supply. So
when that got confronted, the guy that was the hookup that got the kava, he ended up moving it all into a different storage unit and locking it up. Mm. Sold it all off behind our backs. And we had no contracts or agreements. I mean, this isn't like some product that you can really track or whatever, you know. So we did a lot of things on trust and friendship, and we thought that there was like a market for it, which there was a market for it, but it wasn't a very awesome experience.
I just don't think it was treated probably as a business because I mean, Jeremy got the nickname Cobb Father, right?
The white Cobb Father.
Yeah, exactly. So everybody would hang out with Jeremy, and he had so much of it that, you know, he was just mixing kava all the time, you know. And so basically drinking profits away and hooking friends up for free. Here's this, pay me later, you know, and then payments would never come in. And
well,
you
we
know,
even went and got like these nice professional bags that were like screen printed, and they had the Ziplocs at the top, like something you would buy in a store. Yeah. And we would spend hours weighing and you know, getting
measuring
a certain amount of ounces together for a $10 bag or whatever. Yeah. And we did it. We tried to do that all professionally, but man, you know what? Like the biggest learning lesson was that, and I'm not going to sit here and say that guy was like a bad guy. I still see him around town. Yeah. I like him as a person, but dude, he was dishonest in the end, probably because he needed the money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. He was in a situation, where he was desperate. And you know, the learning lesson on this is like, man, just because they're your friend and you trust them, don't mean it's going to go well.
Yeah.
And even if it is your friend, And even if you do trust them, it's usually wise to have things written out.
Yeah.
Contracts signed, operating agreements fine-tuned.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, if someone gets desperate, they're not.
Everybody's point of view is different. Somebody might be doing something they don't even think that to them, in their eyes, it's not even bad.
I don't know to this day how he justifies what he did.
Yeah.
Like you would think that he thinks, yeah, I was dishonest. I moved all the product to a different storage unit and then ended communication with you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Moved all the money out of the account into my account. Like, but I don't know how he justifies it in his mind, man. Maybe he thinks he has a reason.
Yeah,
I don't
know. Who knows?
Yeah.
So far, failed on a trucking company, failed in a kava business. And again, guys, kava's just a root. It's kind of grinded up and people put it in water and they drink it, right? It basically tastes like muddy water, but it's supposed to have a calming and relaxing effect on you. It's not illegal or anything like that. And again, it's big and more of the Polynesian type culture. And so moving on to the next one, Four Laws Financial.
Mm. Yeah.
I thought that was going to be our retirement, dude.
You did?
I thought we were going to get rich. Oh, yeah.
I lost faith in that real quick, but I didn't.
You did?
Yeah, I didn't want to. I didn't want to be the guy.
I didn't want to be the naysayer.
I don't want to come in and be like, dude, this is.
Somebody's excited about it. You're like, no, dude, that's shitty.
I was excited about it for a minute.
Yeah.
I lost faith in that guy real quick, but I didn't want to be the guy holding the project back by being negative or whatever. So I kind of was just like, I don't know. And then there was that other dude that was like, well, wanted to kind of squeeze me out. Which we were the ones putting up all the money.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the Nick dude?
Yeah.
So I was like, I wasn't vibing that whole thing. But I knew you were like, dude, there's potential here, and there probably was.
Yeah, there was. I mean, there for sure was. That's why we started investing money, guys. Four Laws Financial was going to be a company helping people with their finances, almost kind of like breaking it down, helping people get out of debt. Mm-hmm. And we were going to have coaches calling people, you know, once a week, and then kind of move it back to once a month, holding them accountable on some of their finances. And so we were going to take a look at what their current income was, you know, what their debts were, credit card debt, mortgage, car payments, you know, how much they have in savings, what they're trying to save. And our goal was to work with these individuals and charge them, I think, was it $5,000? Something like that.
There was a couple of packages.
But we were going to do it in a monthly payment plan to where our goal was to save them more money than what they're paying us each month.
Yeah.
I think it was like, I don't remember exactly what it was. It was going to be like $200 a month for 24. I don't remember exactly what the finance plan was. Some people could pay for it up front, you know, put it on a credit card or whatever if they had 0% interest. But if they didn't, we didn't want them to put it on a credit card. So we would finance it for them. And if we're saving them $400 a month by looking at their finances and helping them, you know, cut some costs or whatever it is, that covers the $200 a month that we were going to be charging them for the course or the program. And then they would have a lot of accountability. And there was a software, there was a portal where you could enter the information.
The software had an algorithm built into it to where if people would make these principal payments versus interest payments, as well as some other techniques as well, basically got them out of debt 10 times quicker.
Yeah. Right? So for instance, you could put an extra $100 a month on a credit card and it would let you know how quickly you could pay off that card.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could take that $100, put it back in there and say, maybe I want to put that extra $100 towards my car payment.
Right.
And it'll show you how quickly your car payment would be paid off. And so we would analyze, you know, the interest that you're paying on credit cards and on vehicles or, you know, whatever it is, and try to figure out where that money is best allocated and kind of work with them and break down their finances. And it was all centered around a book.
Stephen Covey.
It was a foreword by Stephen Covey. I don't remember exactly who wrote it. But we drove up to Salt Lake. We met those people. We signed that contract with them. We ordered a bunch of books and training courses. We were so focused on the fulfillment side of it and making sure that we had the coaching and the systems and the processes in place. Once we started getting customers, we had it a little backwards though. Right. And so what we should have ultimately done is we should have probably kicked up a couple marketing campaigns, you know, tested anywhere from $2,000 to $5,000, seeing if we could get leads or get customers even showing interest.
Yeah, figure out our audience, figure out the cost per click, the cost per conversion. We didn't do any of that. We built a whole back end before we even knew if the front end worked.
But we were so confident that it was going, you know, or I was anyways, that it was going to work and help so many people that it was, you know, we were blind, or I was anyways, blinded a little bit about, one, the potential of money that we could make and the potential of being able to do that while helping a lot of people. I mean, we were probably $25,000 to $30,000 deep into that in terms of, you know, traveling up there to meet those people.
All the packets
those books.
Like shell. What were they called, those shells?
I forgot.
They had like the tapes that stuff in them.
Yeah,
I guess not tapes, but CDs and software downloads and clamshells.
Is that what they're called?
Yeah. The little clamshells with all the books and tapes.
Yeah, it's like a plastic shell thing, and you open it up and it has CDs and
pamphlets. We pre-ordered hundreds of them.
Yeah. Yeah, we had stacks of them sitting in the office. And then so we're like, okay, we're ready to go. We fine-tune the fulfillment side. We kick up a marketing campaign, you know, and I started calling the leads.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, I'm not really that – I'm not interested. And I don't even remember who was running the marketing campaign for that.
Was it us?
No, I don't think it was us. Okay. I mean, it was one of the guys that was doing some of the pay-per-click stuff. It might have been the dude that was in California that you and Jeremy met, the pay-per-click dude that did a great job for us. I forgot what his name was.
He's a good dude. Actually did really good work.
Yeah, he did a good job. So we had a lot of confidence in him and his ability to be able to, you know, put a campaign together that would bring us the leads that we needed to, you know, make the business work. But we start putting some money into this marketing thing, and I'm calling these leads, and they're not responding at all in the way that I thought that they would respond. So we started testing the marketing campaign after we blew through, you know, $25,000, $30,000 and realized we've just built an entire company and a back end and fulfillment process that would have been awesome. I mean, we even had Gunny reading the book, and we were going to peel him off from one of our other companies.
Dude. I think I saw that Gunther be our coach. Follows our podcast. So what up, Gunther?
Hey, Gunny, if you're listening, man, hope you're doing well, dude. Hope you're doing awesome.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, he's I can't say enough good things about him, so I hope I bump into him here and there. I maybe need to send him a message and just say what's up. But so again, now we've got a Feld Trucking Company, Cavacona Feld, Four Laws Financial Feld,
The 4X Feld,
The 4X Offer Feld. A previous partner that Kel and Jeremy had, they had invested into, you know, buying a building. I think that you guys put like $50,000 down. I remember hearing something like that.
Oh, I forgot all about that until we talked about that the other day.
Yeah, something like that. And you had to come up with the rest of the money or finish the loan by a certain time. And then that partnership kind of fizzled out. And so nobody wanted to finish and close on that deal.
Well, it was basically earnest money. We were so confident we were going to get the loan for the building. Everything was going to go through. They required, because it's a commercial deal.
Yeah.
So they required $50,000. It's not like buying a house where they only want like 500 or 5,000 earnest money, right? It's non-refundable money.
Yeah. Yeah.
We put up 50 G's, man, on this building, and we didn't get our stuff done in time, so they took our $50,000.
I think it just didn't happen because of the partnership, though. You know, it was honestly
a blessing, probably.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure.
I would not want to be tied to that. So,
I mean, at the end of the day, both parties are still doing good. He's doing good. You know, you're doing good.
Yeah.
So, Career Strong.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Did we put a lot of money into that?
It wasn't much. It was like $15,000.
It was just, you know,
it was like $15,000.
I'd probably say a learning lesson like that is just like, you know, taking time away from your real baby to try and do some of these other things that you're really not an expert in.
Uh-uh.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, not only did we waste some money, but we probably wasted some time and some focus from our
things
that we're really good at.
Yeah.
You know, the things that we really do excel at.
I agree.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Career Strong, guys, was kind of the same concept as Career Builder or something like that?
Yeah.
Where somebody can
Job Finder.
Mm-hmm. You know, it was going to be a competitor against,
Monster.
You know, some of those companies that help you know, high income earners or people who want to be in high income earner find high income type jobs.
Yeah.
And again,
and for companies to find high producing CEOs and, yeah, you know,
just great employees, yeah, right? People that will ultimately come in and bring value to their business. And so, again, that was going to be a great business. You know, there's obviously some big companies out there already making money doing it. And we've never really been scared about competing against big companies.
Yeah.
You know, we're very confident in what we bring to the table as individuals in terms of our experience, our sales ability, you know, building staffs around things and fulfillment.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we do. And that's our strong point, you know? And so, and again, we were going to do that with somebody outside of our partnership, and we were going to kind of mm-hmm. join forces, right?
The problem there, because he does a lot of great business, and we still do business to
Absolutely.
This day.
Absolutely.
But the problem is he's busy with his business. We're busy with our business.
Yeah.
So this thing never really got the focus that it should have got. And
exactly.
It was, we weren't able to put the time into it, and it was taking time away from our other thing. And it was just an area that we're not experts in, man.
Yeah.
Like we were never great at job finding. We were always kind of entrepreneurial, you know?
Exactly.
It'd be like me starting a dating site right now. I've been married most of my life.
Yeah.
So I'm not very good at dating. I shouldn't own a dating site.
I ain't trying to compete against Tinder or Plenty of Fish or whatever the hell else is out there right now. I don't even know all of the apps.
Well, but the youngsters.
Yeah.
Have that market.
Yeah. So Career Strong, yeah. I mean, it was a great, great concept, great idea. You know, a couple people, us and the guy that we were going to do it with, just busy, as Kel said. And it just didn't get the attention that it needed to ever take off. And then when you start trying to do business outside of maybe your current partners, there's a little bit of a disconnect, mm-hmm. right? Like he's operating his business and we're trying to communicate with him and he's trying to communicate with us. And it's like, okay, who's going to build the website? Yeah. Who's going to do this? Who, you know, and trying to delegate who's doing what, right? And again, everything that we've ever done, you go into it with so much excitement, right?
You do.
Like
this is a no-brainer.
Yeah, none of these things we thought was a horrible idea, or else we mm-hmm. wouldn't be putting, you know, 50 grand down on a building, or 21 grand on a trucking company, 30 grand on Four Laws, 15 grand on, you know, Career Strong, Cava Kona, and funnels, mm-hmm. you know, all of those things. And so this leads me to one of our biggest L's.
The recent one,
the big dagger that hurts still to this day.
The Nutra game.
Yeah. Guys, sometimes when you're trying to have your money make you money, you get blinded by the potential.
Well, we know so many people making hand over fist money.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And we're so connected with them. We thought,
no brainer.
No one's going to take advantage of us.
Yeah. We can throw a couple hundred G's at it.
A bunch of friends.
And be fine. Didn't work out that way. Mm-hmm. We kind of thought it was an opportunity to have our money make us money, but it ended up being far more hands-on than what we thought. And so, again, that's a naive thing to think, to where you can just put money and build a business, and it's just going to kind of operate – because we were planning on outsourcing a lot of things, right? So instead of having our own customer support in-house, there's customer support companies out there. You can outsource that. You can outsource fulfillment to ship bottles, labels.
Mm-hmm.
What else were we outsourcing? There's a ton of
customer service.
That's what I was just saying. There was customer service.
There was
fulfillment. What other
CRM services?
Oh yeah, CRM.
For the
so
tracking,
we didn't have to
the traffic.
Yeah, the traffic sources.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of that. So what we were going to do is basically, you know, we put $225,000 into this business. It was a little over a year ago.
Yeah,
a little over a year ago. I think we guys
were like, don't even come into the game unless you got a couple hundred grand.
Yep. And so we're like, cool, we can do that.
Yeah.
Again, blinded by the opportunity in terms of having our money make us money. And so we didn't look at all the moving parts and some of the things that could go wrong. And somebody's advising, hey, you should do it this way. Another person's saying you should do it this way. The other person's like, they don't know what they're talking about. I mean, everybody mm-hmm. says that they know the right way of doing things. And then at that point, you got to kind of pick and choose who you're going to trust, right?
Yeah.
And we had campaign managers.
Yeah,
that we outsourced that was going to kind of help us manage the campaign and help that offer, you know, ultimately, they're paying, you know, them succeed. To help
us do it right.
Yeah.
And I think that was the biggest dagger, in my opinion, dude, is once we figured out the dishonesty of this entire industry, we couldn't stand behind it anymore. So couldn't. We had to shut it down.
Yep.
Like, these guys were literally removing terms and conditions and not, you know, just to get higher conversions. They were like removing.
It was free plus shipping, yeah. Right? But we thought all of the terms and conditions were very laid out that they would end up getting billed. Mm-hmm. And we found out that this game, you know, there's some things that have to be hidden and this, that, the other. And yep. it didn't feel good.
I think we could have made money with that whole thing.
If we stuck it out, yeah, we could have. But at the end of the day, there's certain things that money's not worth it, yeah. Right? Like some of the headaches that we were dealing with. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was on Skype all day, every day.
We're busier and busier every year with what we got going.
Absolutely.
And we love opportunities for our money, make more money. But at the end of the day, like, one, we can't stand behind something we don't believe in. Once we found out the dishonesty, we're like, okay, we're out. Two, had we taken the time to figure out how to create our own traffic relationships and not have campaign managers and all this stuff and putting trust in other people versus taking control ourselves, I think we could definitely figure that game out and make money at it and do it right and do it honest. But at the end of the day,
that takes a lot of time to be able to. Yeah. It's a bigger commitment than what we originally thought, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, you know, what do we do? Stay in this industry, in this game that we don't necessarily want to play in, just to try to recoup, you know, a couple hundred thousand dollars, or do we just walk away from a couple hundred thousand dollars and, you know, live and learn? Right. And so what we did, guys, is, you know, we turned a negative into a positive. Right now, I'm out 75 grand cash that I put into it. Kel's out 75. Jer's out 75. We put $225,000 into it. You know, we'll be lucky if we see, you know, 60 grand back from it, so that we each get 20 grand back. But, you know, I mean, that's going to be a $50,000, $55,000 loss for each one of us by the time we, you know, get some of the money back. But, yeah, that offer shut down. And that's a segue into, sometimes you fail your way into a new opportunity, mm-hmm. right? Like, we know that there's money to be made in kind of that game. Mm-hmm. And so there's just a better way to do it. So there's what's called straight sell, and then there's what's called trial. Mm-hmm. The trial's a little bit, you know, shadier than what we wanted to do.
It's kind of like the gunslinging side of the industry. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Yeah, sort
of
so.
Renegades are running, I guess.
Yeah, it's all good, dude. There's, you know, people making a lot of money, and if that's what they want to do, then, you know, that's on them. But we are transitioning. We just invested another $60,000 into the same industry, mm-hmm. But doing what's called a stray sell. Yep. So everybody that's buying something, they have to just buy it up front. There's no trial, hidden, no nothing
terms.
Hit. Yeah, exactly.
No. Removed terms.
And we should be able to make good money. You know, we've spoken with a few people.
We've got new traffic sources now. We know who's honest, who's not honest.
Yep.
And we will. We'll make great money with this. And I think we'll bounce back with some of our losses from that because of the learning lessons.
Yeah.
You know, so it's one of those things that I know we'll succeed with it because we're like, we're not going to give up on it. We're just going to do it right now.
Yeah.
We've learned.
Yeah.
Lesson learned. Now we're going to do it right.
Yeah. And I don't think a lot of people are willing to do that. You know, once somebody sees something not work and they've lost, you know, a couple hundred thousand dollars so far, again, in hopes of, you know, a little bit of money coming back, we'll see. But again, I invested personally into that with the understanding, I'm like, okay, I'm writing this $75,000 off.
Yeah.
Like, I don't.
We didn't risk what we couldn't afford to lose.
Exactly.
And we talked about that up front.
Yep.
Because we knew there was a risk.
Yeah, we did. And I think that you guys need to do a good job of, you know, not get so emotionally tied to money and an investment, because more things don't work out than do. If you invest into 10 different things, you're going to be lucky if two work out or three work out.
Yeah.
Hell, if even only one works out, right?
Yeah. Even on your own business, if you're just starting, though, like, you're going to run into trials. People are going to take advantage of you. Like, you know, Stuman says the force of average is always going to be trying to pull you back.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're going to let those roadblocks,
setbacks,
turn you around and now you head backwards, I mean, you're never going to win.
You, like, got one thing out of the way.
You have to push through.
Look at it like that.
Yeah.
You now are smarter. You know you won't make that same mistake again.
Yeah.
And if you're not going to make that same mistake again, move on to the next thing with enthusiasm. Don't be, again, heavily emotionally tied to the money that you have invested into it. Be willing to lose money in order to find out what works.
Yeah.
Like, that's just the reality of it.
If you can do it without losing money, great. But just, you know, if you lose money, don't let it stop you.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it does happen. There are sharks out there. And I think it's important, too, to, like, spend more, a little more time. Don't let people pressure you into things super fast. Like, vet your people. Like, we've got other investments with people that we know are stand-up people.
Yep.
We know that it's a more long-term investment. But we also know that we have great people working in a model that they are experts in. And our joint venture there will work out. It's already working.
Yeah.
I see sales there every day, several sales. But they're great people. They're stand-up people, and they have an operation, and that's what their expertise is in. And they're already successful on their side with it. And so we've got great investments. But, yeah, we've had a lot of failures to find the right ones.
I mean, look at it like this. Like, for instance, if you guys put a Facebook ad out there for your business and it flops, that doesn't mean that you can't get traffic on Facebook. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that marketing in general on Facebook doesn't work.
Yeah.
That just means that you set up those ads wrong,
yeah,
or something needs to be adjusted or changed. I'm a firm believer in always testing, mm-hmm, new things and trying new things. And so if you can, whether it's a marketing strategy for your business, go into it with a couple $1,000 or whatever it is that you're willing to test.
What can I afford to lose to figure this out right now? Because, and that's the other thing, is don't sit there and try and get it to be perfect either.
Yeah.
I mean, so many people are like, I got to build my funnel or my advertisements like just
this
right.
Ad has to be amazing.
It has to be perfect before I launch it. It's like, you don't even know, man. Like, sometimes people convert better on what's not perfect.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, so many people are worried about a perfect video or a perfect photo, the perfect headline.
Mm-hmm.
Just so that you guys know, you can always adjust the headline. You could always adjust your offer. And when I set out to try to figure out, you know, Facebook and Instagram and all that, you know, I was excited, enthusiastic, and, you know, thinking that I could figure it out pretty quick. It took me a year and, you know, $30,000, but we figured it out. And the knowledge that I gained by doing those things is what I'm investing in on the Real Business Owners account on Instagram. And so without that $30,000 loss in terms of figuring out how these ads work and what's going to perform the best for us, we wouldn't even have Real Business Owners.
Yeah.
Right? We wouldn't even have the podcast that we're on.
Yeah.
So I failed in all of these different ad settings until I figured out the proper age, the proper demographic.
Mm-hmm.
Should it be male? Should it be female? What their hobbies are, what their interests are.
Yeah, what color.
Like all of that stuff
the
matters.
Color schemes.
Yeah. Like you can literally put up one ad and have three different colors.
Yeah.
Right? And it's the same ad.
Yeah.
One will outperform the other two, guaranteed.
One that sees your face up close will convert better than your face far away or
more intimate.
Yeah, the starting point of the ad that doesn't have a face on it at all. Like there's a lot of different.
So many things
depending
that you have
on your
to
audience
just test.
And what your niche is and what you're marketing, right?
Yeah.
And
So, guys, and the whole point of the podcast is to help you guys understand that losing money or failing is not necessarily a bad thing. Again, it just, you get that out of the way and then you move on to the next opportunity or the next test or the next thing that you're ultimately going to do for your business. Because it's not the fact that if you're trying to figure out the marketing side that marketing won't work for your business. It's trying to find out what form of marketing works for your business.
Yeah.
And there's so many different forms of marketing that, you know, you might go through five different things that don't ultimately work and you lose 10 grand.
Yeah.
But if you find the one that does and you triple or quadruple down on that one ad or whatever it is, right, it makes up for those five losses that you took and some, and now your business is ultimately thriving. So you will have to fall on your face over and over in order to understand what doesn't work. But you're falling forward, right?
Yeah.
Into the next opportunity or the next thing that you're one step closer to what will work.
There is no luck without failure and hard work. I just really believe that. Like so many people see like, oh, that guy got lucky. You know, whatever. Maybe they think he just threw together an ad or
bullshit.
A funnel and it worked the very first time. And sometimes someone puts together an ad or a funnel and sometimes it does work the first time, but they don't see all the failure that person went through to get the knowledge in order to get that ad that did work the first time. Or sometimes someone goes through 50 different funnels and ads or whatever before they figure out what actually works to build, you know, their business behind. But yeah, man, like there's very, 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 very few overnight successes.
Yeah,
and so many times, happen. Like, people think that. They think, oh, he just got lucky. Like, I read a story the other day about one of the guys that came out with the e-cigarettes at first and how he just basically – they just made it look like he just was this overnight success. They have no idea what that guy went through before he actually
– He was
popped.
Probably called an idiot a billion times, like an e-cigarette. Yeah. Why the hell would
probably
you –
Probably had 100 failures like us before he actually had something that
– That was –
Blew up for him.
Yeah. That was actually functioning.
Yeah.
You know, like somebody had to test all that and figure out how to make it work. How do I put nicotine in this and in a juice and then has, you know, all that stuff. That's just business in general.
Yeah.
If you guys are listening to this in business, you guys understand exactly what we're talking about because I guarantee you've cut a check for something for marketing or cut a check for something for fulfillment. And somebody doesn't come through, right?
You've been burned.
Everybody's
been
burned.
You've had bad partnerships.
If you're trying to be successful, you've been burned.
Exactly.
There's no possible way that you're literally the first thing that you cut a check for is just immediately making money. Just if it was that easy, then everyone would be cutting checks.
Exactly.
It's just it is high risk, right? But it's high reward as well because of all the failures that we've had. You know, we're able to take vacations and go to Costa Rica or go to New York or go to Mexico or, you know, California and do a lot of the fun stuff that we do. But we would never be able to do all of those things if we didn't have all those failures previous.
So true.
Right? And so I just think that people need to adjust just what they think failure is.
Right.
You know, if you really put failure in the term of a learning lesson or a learning opportunity, you're just getting more efficient. You're getting smarter every single time you fall on your face because you're not going to make that same mistake again.
Yeah.
So when you finally, 5 years in, have gone through all the process of elimination on all the things that don't work, you're going to end up being very successful. Mm-hmm. That's like saying somebody that's trying to dig for gold puts a shovel in the ground and turns over the dirt and there's gold.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen,
exactly.
Right? It's a lot of it's guesswork. And then there's a little bit of science to trying to figure out, you know, everyone – I used to watch that Gold Rush show, and you see machines breaking down.
Oh, dude.
They're digging big holes. There's no gold there.
Into the pit.
It's like, dude, it's problem after problem, issue after issue. And then when they find that little teeny speckle, you're like, everyone's cheering. You're cheering for that thing?
For this half mason jar full of gold?
Yeah, exactly. The little gold flakes, you know. But if you watch some of those shows, you're watching them go through frustration after frustration, problem after problem, and all they're doing is just addressing the problem, addressing it, failure after failure, and they don't lose enthusiasm. They're still just on that chase to find that big hit, and that's what it's all about, guys. Just continue to stay the course, continue to chase that goal or that dream that you had because it's there.
Yeah.
But it's hidden behind a bunch of bumpy-ass roads.
Totally agree.
So, guys, I hope you got some value out of it and of this podcast. And make sure that you drop us a review, 5 stars preferably. tell people about us. You know, if you're getting value out of it, people that are close to you, if you're spreading the word about something that's positive and you're impacting your close friends and family members, they're going to thank you for it. You're a better person for sharing that information. When I found Ed Mylett, I told Kel, I'm like, dude, you got to check this guy out.
Yeah.
Kel started to follow him. Now we both love the guy. You know, he's an awesome individual and somebody that we look up to and somebody that, you know, when he speaks, we listen, you know? And so same type of concept, guys. So make sure you're sharing the podcast with people. Share the Instagram page with people. If you haven't gone over to our Facebook page yet, you know, check that out. Go give it a like and make sure you're following us there. We need all the support we can get on that.
Man, what's up with that, dude?
Yeah, Facebook's much harsher.
Spread the love on Facebook,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, Facebook has been harsh to us a little bit.
There's too many haters over there that need our help.
and lastly, YouTube's up. So just if you're trying to find us on YouTube, just search Real Business.
Yeah, we've got a lot of people ask for it.
Yeah, a few people reached out, and we're like, we're working on it, man. We're going to make it happen. And we've done it. We've made it happen. It's up and running. All the podcasts are uploaded on there. So just search Real Business Owners Channel, and it's going to be one of the first ones that come up. You're going to see mine and Kel's pretty face on there. Subscribe to that so that you get your notifications of when we drop something and we can stay in front of you guys and always, you know, provide value to you. So appreciate you guys listening in and hope you guys have a kick-ass day. Thanks.